Hi, my name is Nick Tibuzek, and you are about to bring your strength and skills, and through that, your body, to a complete new level with this podcast. In this podcast, you're not only learning about what's needed to train successfully, but also how to stay healthy and in shape long term. As a calisthenics athlete and coach, I train some of the best athletes in the world, and I will show you what details really matter and how to use the three cornerstones of planning, technique, and mindset to build yourself into the best version of yourself. This podcast is a combination of science, practical experience, and personal stories, which used in the right way will change your whole life. If you want more performance, look great, have more skills and mental power for your training, you're exactly right here. Because here you will learn how to make that happen. Welcome to the Strength and Skills Podcast. Let's walk the walk. And here we go. Welcome everybody to the best podcast in the world. My name is Nick Tibuzek, and with me there is the only Don in the world who's lifting as heavy as this Don. Welcome, Rado Bosic.
Hi, good morning.
All right. Today's episode is about a very important topic, maybe the most important topic we can actually talk about, as we're going to talk about building muscle. As we just had a little chat and upfront this episode where we started talking about it, and it's always like that. We start talking about it and we always have to keep each other back from already telling everything.
Nick suggests a topic, and then I completely go out on it and start talking about it, and Nick always stops me like, save that up for the podcast that you don't have to repeat yourself.
I love these nuggets that you just bring out there, and you just had a good one right here, and you started were saying that you regret one thing so much when it comes to that training approach that you had in the past. Please just start diving into this, because I just stay quiet and you just speak now.
Yeah. So Nick asked me the question, what was different for me before we started working? Because before we started working, I thought that I was big. But then when I look back, I was actually quite skinny. Like, I didn't have a lot of muscle mass. And like, exactly at the point when we started working, that's when you can see a bigger change. Like, even though I was four or five years into training, it's incredible, like, the change we managed to make when we started working together, just because there was all of a sudden a different approach to training. And the biggest change for me, like, was all of a sudden going from this approach that I had before, where I was mostly training for strength endurance, which is training sets and reps for an increased amount of time for a prolonged period of time, with the goal of improving strength endurance in a specific lift or movement. So for me, it was pull-ups and dips, and I was banging those out like bodyweight reps. I don't know for how much time and how much volume. It was quite a lot, because I wanted to join the barbarians, and surely like my training was intense at that point as well, but there was something that was lacking there. And also at one point I was training for skill acquisition. I wanted to achieve the one arm chin up in the front lever, and my approach there was mistakenly like I was only focusing on that pure absolute maximum strength approach, where like each one of my sets was almost like 100% effort, and I left it all there, and I didn't have any high rep work after that. And like, I didn't even have accessories, I think. And the biggest change for me, like when we started working together, was the approach, as I said. And all of a sudden, like this focus on big compound lifts, loading those and trying to progress on those across different rep ranges. Like, it's not only this low rep range which I had with the skill acquisition, or this high rep range which I had with the strength endurance training. Like, it was a mix, And my body responded really well. And all of a sudden you start to grow like you just started training, you know? Like I had newbie gains 4 or 5 years into my training career, you know, which is insane. Which is insane.
I have to say, I think the one thing that really grew the most when I look at you was definitely your ass and the legs.
Yeah. That responded like, that was insane. I did train my legs before, and like even then I sensed, okay, legs are probably not going to be an issue if I start to load them more. The mistake I did there was I did not load them more. You know, I just stayed with what I had, and I didn't try to push them too much, because I was obsessed by like, if I grow my legs, it's going to affect my upper body work, which was mostly calisthenics at the time. You know,
purely
calisthenics at the time, and I was like paranoid, if I grow my legs, because they're already like semi big, it's gonna affect me, you know. So that's why I didn't load them. And yeah, I agree, like they exploded when we started working.
That was really, really funny, because I remember this one time when we had a competition in Cologne, and I think you came into the door of the hotel, and I looked at you and I was like, God damn it, what happened to his legs? Because I haven't seen you for like,
yeah, that's true.
It was just the pictures and stuff like that. So that's the thing with the online coaching. You don't see the person in person, you know. You know that person grew, you see how the legs grow and stuff like that, but it's still different when you see the person one-to-one in a life situation, you know. And I looked at your legs and I was like, holy cow, what happened here? Because you had your jeans on and they nearly exploded, and
they struggled. Like, the jeans struggled.
And that didn't change, because I think last week you asked me, Nick, do you have a recommendation where I can get actually new pants, because I'm missing out on them.
Oh yeah, the struggle is even bigger now, because like I don't care about my body weight so much anymore. And with powerlifting, you have of course a lot more like focus as well in there, because like you have two main lifts which are like specific, you know, and like they grow even more now.
Absolutely. So, yeah,
I need solutions.
But what is also definitely to see is, I mean, you said you had a very big approach on training that changed.
Yeah.
What was it specifically? What changed when it came to training? I know, of course, you had a program then, and I think that's a big change, definitely. But did the intensity change? Because what I just, I have to tell a little bit about that. When I look into my past, when it comes to training, what changed for me was completely, when I got my first coach, that was extremely important. Before that, I was coaching myself, and coaching myself was always a shitty idea, always. I really have to say that it was never a good idea. The thing that comes now was whenever I train for a skill or something like that, I always trained super specific for it, but I never trained the different things that might be weaknesses and stuff like that. And one of the reasons was I hated looking at my weaknesses. Had you had the same experience here?
Yeah. I had the same experience, because I was coaching myself at one point as well. And like every 4 weeks, I would kind of try to look back at the program that I built, and the mistake I was doing, like I was always changing it up, because I was trying to quote unquote optimize it, you know?
Yeah.
And I did the same thing. I was always avoiding my weaknesses. Like I was always putting in exercises that I liked, that I enjoyed, that, you know, I'm like proficient with. Yeah. And I always avoid the stuff that I hated doing. And that's something that's, I think that held me back from actually, you know, excelling there.
Yeah.
In those goals that I had.
This is crazy, because when I look into what I did a few years ago, Like it must have been somewhere around 2015 to 2016 or something. I did my first muscle up in 2014, and I think it didn't improve through the past through the next 2 or 3 years. Nothing happened because I didn't look at my weaknesses there. I was not explosive, and I lacked overall strength. And I didn't even know how to manage that. I had also a shoulder injury, which I had to take care of, definitely, because I killed myself on the dips. Just killed my shoulder there. But I had to win this friendly competition with a friend of mine. Holy cow. But the thing that I definitely see there was I had not the right view looking into this, and I had not this right approach. Okay, Nick, this is really the thing that you lack. You got to improve it. And I was definitely not patient enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, that's a big one. Yeah.
Especially when it comes to strength. I mean, let's say that way. I'm a very big and heavy guy. When you want to do a muscle up as a very heavy and big guy, it takes some time to build up the explosiveness. And the explosiveness that you have to get there, to get that muscle up and stuff like that, and it's built on the base of strength. So the first thing that you should improve is actually having a good base of maximum strength. From there, you can get the explosiveness. This is something a lot of people completely lack of when it comes to the thinking of how do I actually get better at that? Because when you look into most of the tutorials on YouTube and stuff like that, I don't want to be offending or something like that, but you see a lot of people doing calisthenics, especially in social media, which are extremely light and small, like around 70 kg or something like that. And this is, it's a complete different story when you're heavier and bigger. I mean, it is like that. You just have to move more weight. And especially when you have to move it explosive, then it's completely different. And everybody who is actually working on something like pull-ups and stuff like that, you know how slow the progress is there. It just takes so much time. And so I was not patient enough to build up my one rep maximum strength. And I think this is just a big theory of mine, but I think you should be able to move around 2/3 of your body weight in a weighted pull up or chin up to actually do a good muscle up in a very explosive way. And I had the same theory about half of the body weight, but I actually see that when you have the 2/3, you definitely are able to do it. And with half of the body weight, you're not always able to do it.
Yeah.
But that's just my big theory.
Okay. So with 90 kilos right now, I'd have to pull 60 kilos in a pull-up.
I think so.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I mean,
if you do 2/3 of your body weight in a pull-up, you're going to be flying on muscle-ups. That is the case.
That's just a good way to make it safe. But to come back to these things that actually were the big topic of the episode, I know that in the beginning, I was also, what I also lacked a lot was actually muscle mass. And I think the same thing was up to you when we started working together. You have had a pretty good fitness base, let's say that way. You have had a very good base. You were actually strong from a viewpoint of normal people, let's say that way. But to get where you wanted to go, you just lacked a lot of muscle mass. And I had the same problem when I started with my coach back, I must say 2017, 2018 or something like that. had the same problem. He looked at me, you're just too skinny.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually the reason why I was lacking on certain things, because I thought, okay, Nick, you're pretty fit and stuff like that, but for what I wanted to reach, I had the big issue, Nick, you're a big heavy guy, so for that you need more muscle mass to build more strength, because muscle mass is actually building strength. The more you have, the bigger is the potential to actually bring on the strength, you know? And I didn't get that. I totally didn't get that. So a lot of people think like building muscle is a bad thing and we are not bodybuilders.
And yeah,
I would completely disagree at that point. How do you see that?
Yeah, I had that thing as well, like, I'm only doing calisthenics. Why would I ever touch a weight? You know, why would I ever do a bicep curl with dumbbells or a tricep extension on a machine? Like, I would never touch a machine in my life. That's a sin, and so on. Yeah, like we talked about how our approach changed to picking these exercises, which are our quote unquote weaknesses. And those are like mostly going to be in the assistance part of a program. It's assistance and accessory exercises in a workout plan. And what changed for me, like, as well, so together with this shift in, okay, we need these exercises to tackle the weaknesses, is also how I approach those exercises. Like before, even when I had them in the program, I was just like storming through them. You know, I was just going through the motions without much focus, without much intent. Yeah. And then when we started working together, we had this big topic of like, RPE and reps in reserve, and how much are you actually able to do in a set? Like, is RP8 really an RP8, or could you do like 5 more reps? You know, how do you gauge yourself? I think we had like AMRAPs at one point, or someone in the coaching had AMRAPs, and like the session before, I think that client like said it's RP8, and then you told him to go for an AMRAP next session, and he got like 10 more reps with the same weight the next week.
Yeah.
And then the shift happened to me as well. Like even that happened from the outside, like I didn't experience it myself, but I started questioning myself, okay, am I really giving it all? Am I really following this protocol that's written out for me? Because if not, it's not going to be optimized, you know? It's not going to be giving me the result that are planned.
Yes.
So the shift happened for me, like on accessory work as well. I started pushing them, and I started to see progress on those as well, because those are like important. Like there's a reason why they're in the plan.
Yeah.
And ever since I started doing that, not only did my main work excel and improve, but I also sensed, okay, all right, the body is changing. You know, there's something that's happening here. And you mentioned the bodybuilders and how quite often they're labeled as bad and as, you know, you don't want to have that approach and so on. Like, I think we can learn from each other all the time.
Yeah.
And we can always take something from a different discipline. Those guys are pushing themselves like mad on exercises, you know, and then training really heavy. And if you transfer, and there's a reason why they're big, you know, there's a reason why they're big. And if you try and replicate that with your assistance work and accessory work to a certain extent, like it doesn't have to be pushing yourself to the same extent as they do, but to a certain one, you're going to be having gains, you know, you're going to be growing. It's quite similar to a bodybuilder.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Which isn't anything bad, of course.
Yeah.
You want that, you know?
It's the super interesting part here is we always tell ourselves, yeah, I want to build muscle with calisthenics. But actually, just to say that in that way, because calisthenics is the thing where we came from. But I wouldn't say myself, I'm a calisthenics guy. I'm not. I'm a hybrid guy. And everybody who's listening to this podcast should be known that the Strength and Skills podcast is a hybrid podcast. So we are not a calisthenics podcast anymore. We evolved from there. We came from there. We evolved from there. Yeah. I was actually also a very weighted calisthenics guy a lot, and now I'm really mixing up a lot of things. And just for being the best that I can actually be. And that's super important to know as a base from what I'm talking about, and you probably as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's super important to have that as you have right now, the base of powerlifting that you're mostly doing right now, as it's a phase in your life. Maybe it's going to take 10 years, or gonna be off in 1 year. We don't know. We're gonna see. The very important part here is where I wanted to go there was, you know, I have been on stage. I have trained bodybuilding, you know, and I learned a lot from that. And what I also learned a lot from there was I did hold myself back with this calisthenics approach from building muscle a lot, because I didn't know about how much my body was actually capable of and how much I actually needed to grow, because my training looked completely different before that. And when I started doing a lot more into going into the hypertrophy part of training, my training completely changed. And that was really, really important. I still did my classic calisthenics exercise, like pull-ups, dips, and stuff like that. But as you also said, the assistance and accessory completely changed up in the background, you know? And that was actually the point where I had my kind of return, you know? That was really important to understand that. And what also changed a lot was my approach to food.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Ooh. How are your experience with food when it comes to that?
Well, I'll tell you something. I think I told you this at one point. I was a vegan at one point for like 6 months. And this is not to say that you can't build muscle mass with together with a vegan diet. You certainly can, but my approach was very lackluster, and that's not only because of me but also because of the environment, because I was still down there in Croatia, and Croatia has a really big culture of eating meat, and like being vegan there is extremely hard because you don't really have good food choices in a supermarket as well, and it just makes the whole process extremely, extremely difficult, especially if you're someone who wants to increase muscle mass. So like the thing that was lacking there for me, even when I wasn't vegan, was protein, for example. Like I didn't take that into account, and even though I thought that I was eating enough protein, I certainly wasn't. And when we started working together and when I started tracking, that's when I became aware, okay, you certainly need to eat a lot more of these sources of foods, which are rich in protein, if you want to build muscle mass and if you want to improve there. So for me, it was really valuable to get into tracking, because then all of a sudden I knew, okay, this is not enough. This is a good food choice. This is not a good food choice if that's your goal. Mm-hmm. So that's like the biggest change that happened for me.
Protein thing.
Yeah, the protein thing. The protein thing was the big one. For sure.
That's super interesting. I remember that when you had that change, and you're not the only one who has that, because that's not only a vegan thing. This is something I have experienced with a lot of clients that actually start working with us, especially in the beginning. It's like everybody's like, I do eat a lot of protein. And then they get into this tracking thing. And I don't make everybody track, but
yeah.
It's for me, I would say everybody should have tracked at least till a certain point in their life, just to get aware of what you are actually taking into your body in terms of macros and micros and stuff like that, just so that you know about it. So I would actually recommend it to everyone to do it for a certain time. And the thing that I noticed was most people really like, if they never tracked, they have absolutely no idea how less protein they eat and how important it is to change that, because all the time it's just this approach: get more protein in, and the complete body composition changes. I had one guy who started with us this year in January. And he was like, after in his second block, this must have been somewhere in by the end of March. I don't know if you saw the picture that I posted on Instagram and on social media stuff.
Yeah.
And he was like, Nick, it's my second block. I know I'm having complete different technique now. I see the strength gains and stuff like that, but I don't think my body changes a lot as my body weight is not increasing. Because he's a very tall guy, like 2 meters and stuff like that, you know, 2 meters big. That's wow. Huge. And he has the weight of 101, 102, somewhere there. It's always going up and down a little bit, you know, like classic. And I said, well, did you check your pictures? And this is a crucial one because I'm always telling the clients, when you start training with us, please do the pictures. And do them from time to time again so that you can compare how your look does change. Because that's a crucial one. You, if you don't do that, you don't see it, how much you can actually change. And then he said, no. And I said, hold up. And I did this classic before and after picture. And I sent it to him and I was like, do you see a difference? And he was like, wow. That's a huge difference. And he didn't even change in the weight on the scale. But the complete composition changed within, like, I think it must have been something around 8 weeks or something like that. And it was a complete different guy standing in front of that camera. And all that we changed was the macronutrients that I switched up. I said, less fat. More protein. The carbs stayed pretty similar all the time, but I changed up the protein intake. And that changed his complete body composition. And this is so important to understand that most of the people don't get that if you put more protein in there, you're more likely to build more muscle. And most of the time, people also lose body fat. And it's super interesting to see, but because that's what I do all the time with myself. When I see, okay, Nick, you look into the mirror, you stopped tracking, you don't like anymore what you see right now because you're maybe getting a little chubby. What is the one thing that you changed during the past maybe 2 or 3 weeks? And then I look into that and I see most of the time, I'm like, okay, Nick, you probably eat a lot of fat and less protein. And this is, I know myself, you know, I know how my body does react on certain macro nutrients. And for me, more protein and less fat works extremely well. And I see that with a lot of people. It's not everyone, but a lot of people. I mean, I'm checking things like that for like years now.
Mm.
And this is definitely one thing that I can say from the lab. when you change the protein, people completely change their look. And it's super, super interesting to see that. I had this podcast with Jan where I said, I think the best diet in the world is more protein and more veggies.
Yeah.
When you change that up, everything changes because you change your habits when it comes to nutrition. You change the food choices a lot because it's just better. But on the other hand, more protein, you see it's much better. And the next thing that every diet in the world, except of the carnivore diet, has in common is eat more veggies.
Yeah.
When you change that, you're pretty good to go on that. So here's a tip. When you want to change your body composition, eat more protein, eat more veggies. That's it. And I think this is something everybody has to see when it comes to food choices. When you want to build muscle, the protein is extremely important. And here comes something that's killing most people. Yes, we want to eat more veggies. But when you eat more veggies, you get into this big thing that you completely filled up with the veggies and you don't get enough of calories in. A lot of times. How are your experience with that?
Oh, yeah. I've got to be honest. Like, I'm probably not getting the amount of vegetables in that I should be getting. So I've been very, very lazy with that. Yeah, like, you certainly want to have at least 3 to 5 servings a day, be it fruits, be it veggies.
Mm.
I tend to go more in the direction of fruit. Okay. Because I leave that after the meal, you know, it's like a nice dessert or like a nice snack in between.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't restrict me so much in how much food I can eat, as you mentioned, if I want to bulk up, you know.
Yeah.
Like if I have too much vegetables, because of the volume, because of the sheer volume, it's going to be affecting me in how much I can eat of the other foods that are on the plate. So I kind of put that as a secondary thing. And also like opt for veggies that don't make me so full. So for example, if I go for cauliflower or broccoli or stuff like that, that's going to fill me up quite fast, you know? But if I go for something like tomatoes or a cucumber or stuff like that, that's going to be good. You know, like it's still going to get my micronutrients in. I'm still going to get my micronutrients in, but I'm also going to be having the freedom to eat, other stuff that's on the plate.
Yeah.
So like two things for me, opting for fruits more, and second thing, opting for veggies if I have veggies that don't make me so full.
Yeah.
That was the approach for me.
Super interesting to see. You know, we're having a new client from India, and I'm really looking forward to see how that guy is going to build the muscle, because I think it's going to be super interesting how he's about to approach the food thing, because especially when you look into the culture of eating there, it's going to be a very, very different from how we eat here, you know. So that's going to be a super interesting topic there, how this guy is going to grow once you change up the macronutrients, because you change up a complete behavior of eating.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be super, super interesting. And I know how he's going to tell me, I can't eat more. I can't eat, Nick, I just can't eat more. And I'm like, you can.
This is
where I wanted to go with that, because it's so interesting to see. You know, we want to be healthy, but on the other hand, to build muscle, we have to eat more than we actually extend. You know, we need this calorie surplus. So it doesn't have to be a lot, but it needs to be a bit. And this is super interesting to see that a lot of people really lack on eating enough. And if you have your protein in, you get most of the time, you get to the point, you know, protein is filling up. When you eat a lot of protein, you're soft.
Yeah.
And then when you have to get the veggies in, like you said, it's going to get you into trouble most of the time. So it's important to get the micros in, so all the vitamins and stuff like that, but also getting enough of calories. And this is where you really have to balance stuff out. And this is where it really gets interesting when it comes to the food choices. Do you have any more for the food topic?
Yeah, one more thing that I would like to add is I see a lot of people, like when they try and bulk up, they get really relaxed when it comes to their food approach, which isn't necessarily anything bad at the start. But like too many people, I think, just like all of a sudden opt for quote unquote worse food choices and increase their amount of like junk foods that they eat, because those are more calorie dense foods and it's just easier to go into the surplus.
Yeah.
And also another thing that you see with that is a lot of people just exceed their intake, like they eat a lot more than what they need at the start, and then all of a sudden when they get bored of that, you see a sudden drop and they go back to their maintenance calories, and all of a sudden like you had this 2 to 3 weeks of too many calories, you became fluffy, you know, you probably just gained fat and nothing else. And then you go back to your normal intake and try and maintain, and you go over and over in this vicious loop, you know, because you just don't know where you're at. I think that it's important to know that if you're starting off and if you're maybe doing your first bulking cycle, track that as well. You know, just as you track your calories when you are in a caloric deficit, try and track your calories just also in a bulking cycle, because like you don't want to exceed 500 calories of a surplus for a prolonged period of time, because most of that gain is going to be fat gain, and you don't want that. You know, like you want to optimize the process. So just you're like on firm ground, uncertain ground, I would say 250 to 500 calorie surplus. Go for that. Keep that up. Stay consistent with it. Like not a few weeks, a few months. you know,
like yeah,
6 months minimum, I would say.
Yeah.
And then see what happened in the mirror and on the scale, and then you're good to go, you know, and then go from there. If you want to continue, if you want to maintain, or if you want to cut down.
You know what? Now you mentioned something that is so important to understand.
Yeah.
The time frames when it comes to building muscles are so much longer than everybody thinks.
Yeah.
People be like, yeah, I'm going to add in a block of hypertrophy.
8 weeks.
8 weeks of hypertrophy. What do you think how much you gained during that time? The thing that comes up with this, and I have to commit here something that I do, that the same thing. When somebody comes into our coaching, we do the same thing of getting them into a higher volume phase of, we call it the hypertrophy phase. Then we let people work through that. And then they have a strength phase as well. And in the end, they come out with some good PRs. The very important part to understand here, because it's always 6 months that we tell people, okay, at least 6 months we stay, we work together. And the important part here is to understand, this is just these 6 months is a phase where we get to know you. And a lot of people don't get that if you really want to get big and bigger, and I'm not talking about you want to be, let's say, Mr. Universe or something like that. It's not that you're going to be like that. For that, you have to train at least 15 years, completely balls to the walls. You know, what I'm talking about is just getting bigger. It will take you 1 to 3 years to get at least into a shape where you, when you compare yourself to other people who also train, are in a comparable status. It takes time to get there, because most people don't get it is a longer time frame that we are talking about, especially when you're not 100% only doing this. And this is so important to understand. We have another life next to training. So when we have another life next to training, we maybe just, let's say, 70% into it. It will take us a little longer. That's okay. But it will take you a little longer. We have to be honest with this, that it just takes a little longer. And I'm doing that myself now. I've had my years in my life where I was only about training, and now I'm also having a normal life. And I think you have the same thing, Rado, right now.
And yeah, it's quite similar, yeah.
The approach is now a little bit different to this. But I think it's also important to know these phases, especially for us as coaches. It's extremely important to know that. But on the other hand, it's also important to have the other phase where we know, okay, things take a little longer. It's okay. That's completely okay. Life is not only training. And the very important part here is to understand how much time this will take to build this muscle. So this is why you said the surplus shouldn't be too big.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you look at this, the year has like 52 weeks. When you have a certain calorie surplus of 500 calories per day, that's 3,500 calories per week, which is a surplus, which is half of a kg of fat probably that's coming up to this. Maybe it's not a half, but it's like, let's say, 250 grams of fat that's coming up per week. So within 4 weeks, you would have gained 1 kg of fat, which would be, over the time of a year, like, let's say, 10 to 12 kilos of fat that came up, you know, this added up. And we have to think of this time a little different, because when the surplus is too big, you gain more than that. And who wants to gain like 20 kg a year? I don't. I like to build muscle, but I don't like to build fat. So
the
thing with this is, when you look into the bodybuilding community, they know they have to to build some more fat while building the muscle. They know that. And they know that, and they are ready to invest this. But for most people who are not into complete bodybuilding, doing bodybuilding shows where you win by size, you know, this is for every yes, there's a no, you know, know about that no. And the important part here is to not misunderstand this part. So we have to think of at least 2 years of really building muscle, or at least let's say 1 year of a complete hypertrophy phase, where you invest all the training time into building muscle and also invest the eating patterns into building muscle. And then think of, I don't want to get completely fat during that time. So it needs to be a very balanced way of actually changing up your complete physique. And this is super important to understand, because if you don't do that, you get super fluffy. And you have the same thing with all the people who are starting off with creatine. Oh, I started doing creatine and I just got so fluffy and fat. This supplement makes me fat. No, it's not that. It's you eating too much food. And that's something a lot of people do. Yeah, I'm in a bulk phase. You're not in a bulk phase, you're in a fatty phase.
You're in a fat phase.
Sometimes I have to be that rude to make people understand that this is actually a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to balance this. And that's super important, because there is a too much.
Course,
that's,
yeah.
That's a super important part here. Ah, do you have to do you have something to add on that?
Yeah, I wanted to say something, but I lost it.
I'm sorry. I was talking so much.
I lost it. When is it? Yeah, if I remember, I'm.
That's all good. I think the episode is very long right now.
Yeah.
Do we want to wrap up here?
I think so. I think that's good.
I think that's good. All right. So thank you guys for listening. If you need any help for growing muscle, just make sure to get in touch with us. I think we are the only ones who can help you in the calisthenics area who are really ready to help you with building muscle. Yes, I'm confident about that. All right. So if you like this episode, please do us the favor. Send it out to those who may struggle with building muscle. Maybe this one helps. And if you need any help, always feel free to reach out to us on the Strength and Skills on Instagram, or you just send an email to office@strengthandskills.de, and then we are ready to roll to get in touch with you. And another option, of course, would be you just go to the website of us, strengthandskills.net, and get yourself an appointment with us. So we just have a call and just answer all your questions about what's going on in the coaching. This call is completely for free. You can easily just schedule yourself an appointment whenever you are free. And from there on, we just see, okay, does it work? Do we fit to each other? And then we start working, or we just don't. All right. Thank you guys for listening. Catch you on the next episode. Grow well, train hard, eat well. Have a good one. See you then.